All righty. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. We want to continue with our study this morning. I went ahead and put that set of notes, the third chapter, out there, because chapter 2 of this book has got 29 verses in it, and that was a lot of verses, and I didn't make it. I'd like to try to do a chapter a Sunday, but I'm not going to rush it. There's no need in that. So what I'll do is I'll pick up where we left off last week, which was actually beginning in the 18th verse of chapter 2. And then if we have time, I'll go into chapter 3, and the notes are there. And if we don't, well, we'll just start next time. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, this morning, how thankful we are for another opportunity to be able to come together, to look into your word, to consider these things that are so, these things that are set forth, gloriously set forth. We pray you'd bless the word to our hearing. Bless, we pray, the preaching. And these things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. In these letters that are written, there are seven letters written to seven individual churches, without a doubt. Seven churches in the book of Asia, in the country of Asia. But in these seven letters written to these seven churches, there is something taught to the church collectively out of every letter. Every one of the letters is for Katy Baptist Church. Every letter is to every church, every assembly of every age. The letters that we looked at last week, the first was to the church at Ephesus. And here is what we were taught from the church in Ephesus. We're taught that we have two natures. Every believer possesses two natures. One that absolutely exhibits the very manifestation of what was done by Adam in the garden. He left his first love. The Lord told him, "You may eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of that tree." Therefore, when Adam deviated, when Adam left his first love, that very nature is in every man, every woman born in Adam. Therefore, we have a nature that leaves our first love. But we also have a nature that loves God. That which is born of God, that new nature, it does not sin. It cannot sin, the Scripture says, for his seed remains in it. So therefore, in the book, in the letter to the church at Ephesus, we learn that we have two natures. One that does exactly what Adam did, leaves her first love. One that doesn't, and the believer knows it. To the church in Smyrna, the second letter, we're taught that we're perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the ninth verse of the second chapter, he says, "I know thy works, tribulation, poverty, but thou art rich." You're rich in faith. You're rich. You're possessors of all things in Christ. So we learn, secondly, who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, to the church at Pergamos, we find out, and this is something that we're all taught, that the church exists in this environment, in this world, in the midst of wicked verse 13 says, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. So then we're taught, I mean, we're in a wicked world. I mean, this is, I mean, I know that people want to think that this world's getting better and better. It's not. We're not. We're in a wicked world. So we got two natures. In Christ, we're perfect. We're in a desperately wicked world. Now today we start verse 18 to the fourth letter to the church at Thyatira. And let me tell you what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to find out in this church that we have a divine commandment. Almighty God has taught, He teaches His angel, the pastors, the preachers, this: be truthful with men about themselves and about who God is. Be truthful. All right, let's begin now in the 18th verse. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like unto fine brass. This letter was written to the pastor, as I said, who is commanded to preach to the people. You feed the flock. Feed them what? With what Almighty God has said. You teach them whatsoever I've commanded you. Nothing more and nothing less unto the church at Thyatira. This letter is from him who is, he says, the Son of God. This letter is from the sovereign God and Savior of his people. This is who's speaking. He is the omniscient one who has eyes, the scripture says, like unto a flame of fire. We don't hide anything from Almighty God. Now, we can kind of, you know, slip around and hide from each other or think we are, and we do to a certain extent. You know, we're able to hide from each other what's inside, but not from the omniscient one. He said, this letter is from him, his eyes, a flame of fire, burning, penetrating, seeing, he knows. The omniscient God, who endures in firmness, in stability, for he himself has walked in perfect obedience as the elect's representative before God's own law. His feet are likened to fine brass. Isaiah 63:1 says he's traveling, or that is, conquering, in the greatness of his strength, ordering the events of this world. Now, this is something that a believer knows. There's absolutely nothing that happens in this world outside, not only outside of the permissive will of God, but nothing happens outside of God's own ordering and direction. He does all things. He orders all things. All things after the counsel of His own will. Isn't that wonderful? To think that nothing has happened today outside of His power, His will, and His purpose. He's done all things according to His will for our good and His glory. Verse 19 says, I know thy works. I know your charity, your service, your faith, and your patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. I know your works. I graciously take notice of the graces that I've given you. Now, you know that without Him, we can do nothing. We're powerless to do anything. I was thinking a moment ago before everyone started getting here. We're getting ready to preach. Getting ready to preach the gospel. Unless the Spirit of God blesses this message to your heart, it is absolutely nothing. It's nothing. And it'll be evidenced as that. It will mean nothing to you if, listen, if this message that you're hearing, why is it that there's some that sit and they hear the message of God's grace, Christ, and their heart is just ignited, just inflamed in thankfulness? Those that believe not, do you wonder why? Why is it that some people are just so excited about this message? Why? I'll tell you why. It's because God's done something for them. He's given them a heart. And that word burns in their heart like fire in their bones, Jeremiah says. And it's alive to them. They hear it, and they hear something, and it just, it's, man, that's it. That's right. You got, that's right. I've experienced that. I know that. I know what you're talking about. And to some, you hear it, and you think, I mean, it's okay, but, I mean, you know, it's not that great. I mean, it's not that exciting. Well, the reason that it's not is because God hasn't burned that message in your heart. Now, that's just the way it is. I'm telling you, I used to listen to people preach, and I think, how is it that you get so excited about that? I'm glad I can be here and all that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. But as far as it being that big a deal, it's just not. Well, the reason that it wasn't is because God never done anything for me. He just, at that time, I was just going through the motions. And I'm just honest with you. That's right. He says, I know your works. He is the author and finisher of His people's faith. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. He said, I know your works. How does He know them? He's wrought them. He's produced them. I know what they are. Your work of faith, labor of love. He said, I know it. I perceive it. And He says, and I know your charity. He says, I know your love for me, is what He's saying. I know your love for me. He said, I know your love for my message, for the gospel. I know your charity, your love. And I know your love for my people. People that know Christ evidence their love for Christ by their truthfulness about Christ. I know your love, Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. You know, when someone says, now, you know, we need to speak in love. You know, in their minds, I know what they're thinking. Now, be easy. Don't be offensive to anybody, you know, because we love everybody, you know. Let me tell you something. You go back and read the Scriptures, and you taught how the Lord dealt with the Pharisees, how the Lord dealt with those in unbelief, how He dealt with those in rebellion. He went into the temple one day, and in love, and I'm not being facetious, in love, He took, he made a whip, and He went in there and drove out the money changers, and He told them, He said, this house is going to be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. And He drove them out. But let me ask you this. Did He do anything apart from absolute love and obedience to His Father? No, sir. He was truthful. A man that loves you. We're commanded to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And I've said before, and I mean this as sincerely, more sincerely, than I'm standing here. I know, and I've heard, the reputation that Brother Scott has gotten about his stand for the gospel over the years. I know somewhat. I don't know it all, but I know somewhat of what this community has said against that man. And I'm telling you, out of respect to him, this man has been truthful. He's loved this community. Why? Because he's told them the truth. He told them the truth. Paul says, he said, I'm free from your blood. My hands is free from your blood because, he said, I have not shunned to preach unto you the whole counsel of God. The Lord says, I know your charity. Paul says, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him into all things which is the head, even Christ. The Lord says, I know your faith. I know your charity. I know your love. And then he says, I know your service. I know your service. That word service means commitment. That's what it means. I know your commitment. I know your commitment to the ministry of this gospel. I know your commitment to it. You know, without him, the scripture says, you can do nothing. Without him. We're going to look, especially if I get into the third chapter before these two services are over. I'm going to deal with this a little bit more. But when it comes to commitment, let me tell you something about God's exhortation to his people. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Without him, you can do nothing. No doubt about it. That's right. God grants his people a heart that is faithful. Faithful to him. This ham scam halfway, on and off, in and out, up and down, warm and cold, hot, you know, listen. There's no place for it. There's no place for it. Commitment, 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 honor. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. There's nothing else. I enjoy piddling around with artwork. I really do. I do. I mean, if I don't have anything else to do. But I'm telling you, it's got to be second fiddle. It's got to be. It's got to be. Commitment, commitment, commitment. He said, I know your service. God's people are to be committed. Committed to this gospel. Committed to the preaching of it. Committed to the support of it. Committed to the prayer of it. Committed to it. And I'm not... Someone says, well, you're preaching law. No, let me tell you something. Preaching law is to preach that what you do establishes a righteousness before God. That's preaching the law. That what you do establishes. I'm telling you the result of what God has done for his people. They're committed. Committed to him. He said, I know your service. I know your faith. He said, I know your faith. I know that gift that I've given you, which is that grace that is the very substance of things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things that are not seen. The Scripture reveals in Ephesians 1:4 that Almighty God, before the foundation of the world, now this is what God said, before the foundation of the world, he chose a people in Christ. He chose them, elected them. Before the foundation of the world, what? That they should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, how do you know that? Faith. Faith is the very substance. It's the evidence. Evidence of things that are not seen. How do I know that? God Almighty told me that and taught me that by faith. He said, I see your faith. I know your faith. I know your patience. I know your endurance and the trials that actually works. Patience, or patience, is a peaceful resolve to the will of God. Are the things that we go through in this world, hard things, chastenings, and those that the Lord loves, He chastens. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, let me ask you this. Are those chastenings easy? No. No. No, no, they're not. I remember one time I was young, and I've mentioned a few things about my dad. Most of you would have really enjoyed him. He was a piece of work. I remember one time my dad told me, I had a bicycle. He told me, he said, you can ride your bicycle in the yard here on the driveway and stuff like that, but don't get in the street. I was probably 100 yards down the road, down the street, when I watched him come out of the front door. That's what he did. Man, I have never gotten so hot so quickly. I was riding as fast as I could. And I thought, maybe he's going to let me off. He didn't. The penalty for disobedience was, I can tell you this, it was a whipping. And I remember, I can just about tell you, give me a minute, and I'll tell you what I got every one of them for. I can remember them. He would tell me why he was getting ready to whip me, and I'm telling you, he did. I mean, that's, you know, like I said, his timeout was the time that he took his belt off until he got me. That was my timeout right there. He said, I know your patience. That is your endurance in trials that worketh patience, that peaceful resolve to the will of God. He did me a real favor. He did me a real favor by spanking me. I may write an article one day on what it is, on God's method of you know, dealing with disobedience and punishment. What does the Scripture say? I can tell you, some of you kids are not going to like what I got to say, but I'm telling you. He said, I know your patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Here the Lord beholds the maturing of His people. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. The believer grows up in Christ by the hearing of the gospel, and by the gracious chastenings at His hand. You grow up. You don't act like kids anymore. You grow up in Him. Taught, matured. You realize something. More and more and more of the pit from which you've been dug. The more a man is taught concerning who Christ is, what He's done, who He is, where He is right now, the more he knows of God's mercy and grace to him. You've been gracious to me. God's people grow up. They quit acting like kids. Rebellious kids. They grow up. They mature. They hunger after Him. And they get more and more sick and tired of the junk of this world. They behold afresh each day the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I guess I better stop right there. Let's take about a 5-minute break. Lord willing, we'll come back and pick up in verse 20.